right? And so it would be one thing if he just showed up as a grown man, but no, we really couldn't identify with that. I mean, I didn't show up as a grown man. I've always been mature. No, I was not. I was a little baby one time. And that's how God entered the world, through Jesus. Without Christmas, we would not have Easter. Easter is a celebration of Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection. We could not have that had he not come at Christmas. So Christmas is the gospel story. We need to become more passionate about shaking up our world with the gospel. I'm going to look at a few key players in the Christmas story today. And their response when God asked them to shake up their world, or when God said, I'm about to shake up your world, what was their response? There's a few verses. I'm going to be kind of all over the place. And Chad, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sorry, but I missed some of the verses. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. Just as it was with you. Now, most of you here today responded to that gospel message. Even in a crowd this size, I can't imagine. I don't want to assume that everyone in the building has responded to the gospel message. Okay? And if that's you, today's your day. If that's you, your miracle of Christmas and the gospel can happen today. God's desire is that the good news would spread rapidly, giving others an opportunity to respond, just as you did. The first person I want to look at is Mary. Now, Mary responded to the gospel message, right? She did. She's 14 or 15 years old. She's chosen. She's favored. And the angel comes to her and tells her that she will give birth, even though she's a virgin, and that the son whom she'll name Jesus is the Messiah. Now, as a Jewish girl, she is familiar with the story of the Messiah. Everybody is looking for the Messiah. Okay? And when God sent an angel right in front of her face and told her, you're the one. You're the one whom God has chosen to bring forth the Messiah into the world. I can only imagine. In Luke chapter 2, verse 30, and this is one I did not give you, Chad. But in that verse, the angel tells her, do not be afraid. Or maybe your version says, fear not. Don't be afraid. And as I was looking at this verse, I got to wondering, okay, was the angel telling her, because how many of you have seen an angel blaring with brilliant sunlight standing in front of you in a very physical manifestation? Okay, that hasn't happened to me. If it did, I think I would be freaking out just a little bit. Okay, so I got to thinking, did the angel say to her, don't be afraid? Like, don't be afraid that it's me standing right in front of you, this angel. Don't be afraid of what you're seeing here. Or was the angel telling her, I'm about to tell you some stuff, and it's going to freak you out, what I'm telling you. Don't be afraid to move forth with this information. I don't know for sure. Maybe both. But the angel was telling her, don't be afraid. If you're not shaking up your world with the gospel, I guarantee you that it's because your biggest fear, your biggest obstacle is fear. God wants you to hear this message this morning. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And maybe your fear is that you feel inadequate. Well, how can God use somebody like me? I know my past. I know what I've done. How can God use me? How can God even love me? I'm so inadequate. Maybe that's your fear this morning. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough. And I'm gonna tell you something right now. You may not be good enough, but my God is God enough. And he tells me I didn't have to be good enough. He loved me just as I was. and he came and saved me just as I was. What's the Bible verse say? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, when you get good enough and make yourself worthy of being saved, I'll save you. He said, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, just like you are. He doesn't expect us to stay that way, though. So let's go out. Let's get serious about this gospel thing, and let's shake up our world. The second person I want to talk to you about is Joseph. You know, Mary and Joseph, they were there at the same time. Joseph, his fear was similar in that he was afraid he would not have the approval. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 1, 19 and following. It says this, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You see, they weren't even formally married yet. They were just betrothed. It's kind of like an engagement, except much more serious. Okay? But not quite fully married yet. And so, what a surprise when Joseph finds out that, hey, Mary's with child. And Joseph's going, all right, when mom and daddy talked to me about the birds and the bees, this is not working out like I was told it was going to work out. I thought I was had an involvement in making a baby. And he's saying, now, can you imagine the questions in his mind? And what you have to understand that in that culture, that was taboo. That was a no-no. You don't have children outside of marriage. And it's just, you know, and so Joseph had in mind to quietly send her away, do away with her, divorce her, so that she would not be disgraced and he would not be disgraced. Okay? So maybe his fear was, I believe, the fear of approval. He would not be looked upon in good light with other men and women of the community. What would people think? In verse 20, it says this, but after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid, it says. And if you need the approval of others, I got news for you. You're in for a long and sad life, because the approval of others never lasts long, and very rarely is it ever genuine. So maybe that's your fear this morning. Let's look at another group, the shepherds. Their fear was a change in their schedule. God told them they need to be spontaneous. So maybe that's your fear. Maybe your fear of, you know, I've got my schedule and I've got to be follow my schedule. I can't have any interruptions and I can't have anything show up that's out of the, you know, something that's going to throw me in a bind, in a jam. And I've got to have everything just set. And I mean, I've got my menu planned out for Christmas dinner already, right? Regina has her dinner. The menu's planned. That's great. But maybe, listen to this, maybe you live in spontaneity and your fear is a schedule. I know some people like that. What? I can't make plans. That's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I can't plan that far in advance. Maybe that's your fear. The shepherds. They were sitting out in the field doing what shepherds do. They were shepherding. They've got this down. They know what to expect. They know what they'll be doing tomorrow. They know what they'll be doing the day after that. They even know what they're going to be doing the day after that. You know what that is? They're going to be shepherding, doing the same old thing. They know that. But the Bible says suddenly. Okay? Listen, when God tells you to do something, it's often very suddenly. You need to be ready to communicate your message suddenly. It might be in the line at the grocery store. It might be in the waiting room at the tire shop or at the hospital. It may be when your child or your grandchild asks you that question. It may be when somebody at school says, hey, what's all this stuff about? And you can have an answer for them. You've got to be prepared for the spontaneous. You've got to be able to respond right then and right there. In Luke chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says this. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Do you see a thread through this? Do not be afraid, the angel said to the shepherds. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. That was not on their schedule. The Lord told them to go to town. What did they do? They made haste and went to town. They gathered up their stuff and just took off. They didn't call a substitute shepherd. Hey, come watch the flock. I've got something come up unexpectedly. They just left. It's not what shepherds do. God called them out of their ordinary and said, I need you to do something. And you're going to be blessed because you're going to see something extraordinary. Then we have King Herod. Now, his story is a little different. His response was different. He heard the gospel. He knew that there was a Messiah. So he heard the prophecy that it was born. And he heard the story. He didn't make haste and go to town to see and worship the baby. No, he tried to do everything in his power to kill it. King Herod, he's known for having babies under the two slaughtered, under the age of two slaughtered, hoping that one of them was this so-called Messiah and he would do away with it. He wanted to kill the gospel. He had a fear of surrender. He was the king. How could he surrender his leadership, his kingship to a Messiah, much less a baby? How could he do that? No, he's the king. He's the dude. You know, I think in his mind he was God or God-like. Maybe you're not actively trying to kill the gospel, but you might have the fear of surrender also. And I got to tell you, if you have the fear of surrender, you could be killing the effectiveness of the gospel story in your life. You see, we sing that song, I Surrender All. I'm not sure those words are words that we really mean all the time. To surrender everything to the Lord. See, Herod, that was his fear. He didn't want to surrender. How could he do that? He was the king. Then we have this last couple that I'm going to talk about today. Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary. Zechariah was a priest. How many of you have heard of John the Baptist? Well, this is their child. Elizabeth was barren. She was old. She could not have children. They wanted a child. And they've been praying for a child. Elizabeth, she was also supernaturally and suddenly blessed with a child. In Luke chapter 1, I believe it's in verse 12, it says, when Zechariah saw him, the angel, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. I'm telling you, if it ever happens to you, your story is going to say, but it scared the daylights out of me. I was scared. I was fearful. Right? But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Now, what prayer is that? Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. His response to God was, we're too old. I've been praying for that for years, and that was a long time ago. See, he had the fear of disappointment. And many of you have the fear of disappointment. Do you know someone who doesn't get their hopes up too high because they're afraid to be disappointed? I don't want to expect too much from people because they're probably going to let me down. So if I don't have high expectations, I won't have high disappointments. And so I'll just kind of just keep everything low down and not really expect much from people. And maybe it's because there's a fear of being disappointed. And if you know somebody, is that person you? I don't know. Now, Zechariah, he had apparently been praying for a son because his prayer was heard. And now he can't believe it. He even asked, in verse 18, it says, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is," he's very gentle in how he says this, "I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Smart man. The angel said to him, I love this. When I read this next verse, it's like I feel it's almost like I can see it happening. I see the angel bow up a little bit. Maybe that's just because I'm a dude, and that's the kind of way I see it's this. But I think he bowed up and said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent here to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." If that happens to you and the angel does come up, ask him, say, are you Gabriel? Are you Gabriel? Because if you are, I want to make sure that I, you know, respond appropriately. I like to talk. His disbelief caused his voice to be muted. He couldn't talk. Matter of fact, when John was born, you know, the dad names the kids. And they asked him, "What are you going to name him?" He couldn't even say his name. He had a little slate tablet or something. Maybe it was a first generation iPad. iPad 0.05. And he scribbled on the tablet, "His name is John." Because he couldn't talk. Because he didn't believe. And the Lord struck him mute. I got to tell you, your disbelief in God's power will mute your voice too. You won't have a voice. Now, you may still be able to talk, but your influence, your impact of your voice will be muted if you have a disbelief. Just because God has not answered your prayer doesn't mean he wants you to give up, and it certainly doesn't mean that he wants you to doubt, or doesn't mean that when he does answer, he expects you to doubt his power. God's miracle in your life, listen, is never just for you. Did you know that? I was speaking with Gary Crook this morning. It's good to see him, and I was asking about Rose, and she's ill right now. But she had a good report. She went to back to the doctor. They did the scan, and y'all know that Rose, it's been a long battle with the cancer, but the doctor said, "Okay, now I can officially say you are cancer-free." And folks, that's a miracle. That is an absolute miracle. And we have been able to witness and see that and be part of that, and I'm so blessed. But that miracle was not just for Gary and Rose. It was for us to be able to see God's power. It's for the story that Rose and Gary now have to encourage and to impact people down the road. It's never just for you. The miracle of salvation is never just for you either. It's a story that has got to be told. Folks, it's time to shake up our world. In order to do that, we've got to hear the message of the Lord, which says this. You ready? Do not be afraid. What's your biggest fear? What are you afraid of? God says, and I'm going to use King James Version translation here. Whatever your fear is, God says, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Say it. Speak it. Do it. Interact with it. Be a part of it. Go there. Don't be afraid. I'm not sure if you identify with any of these five people or groups of people that I talked about this morning, but quite possibly you do. You identify with that fear. Maybe it's, you know, the fear of disappointment, the fear of rejection. Maybe it's a different one that I didn't even mention. Maybe it's the fear of acceptance. Maybe it's the fear of failure. You know, we have all kinds of fears. God says this, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you're following God's will and you're following what God's plan for you is, He's going to make it successful. It doesn't really depend on you that much anyway. It's God's power at work in you. So say it. Speak it. Tell the story. Gary, tell the story. Have you told the story at all at work? I bet you he has. How could he not tell the story? And I bet you Gary is not saying, my doctors are awesome. Rosa's doctors are awesome. They're the best doctors, and they did a miracle in Rosa's life. I bet that's not what Gary is saying. I haven't even asked him. But I would bet you, because I know Gary, he's saying, my God is a good God. My God is a strong God. We prayed and God answered. Praise be to God. And doctors are cool too, but God makes the doctors, so go God. I just know that that's what Gary's saying. If it's not, don't burst my bubble, Gary. But I want to believe that's true. I just have to know it's true. They even told the doctors. Gary told the doctors God did a miracle. And they said, well, you know, that's not what we call it. And Gary said, well, you call it what you want to. God is good. God is good. Your story of salvation. If you are here this morning and you have received God's salvation because you surrendered your life to Him, that's a story to be told. That is a miracle. It is a miracle that God wants to save any of us. I know some of you, and it's a miracle. But here's the deal. Listen, I know myself. I know myself, and it is a miracle that God wanted to save me. But He did. And that's a story to be told. That's a story to be told. What does God say to us today? Don't be afraid to tell it. Don't be afraid to believe it. Don't be afraid to share it. Let's shake up our world. Let's take our little world. Put the snow globe back up here, please. Let's take our little world. We said the shade is over here. The gun shop is over there. There's the church because it has a steeple. Okay. The shoe shop, wherever it is. Randy's is over here somewhere. Wherever your little world is, just imagine picking up the globe, your little sphere, shaking it up. And if you're too lazy, picture it's the one you just turn on, okay? But let's shake up our world. Your influence. You got a bunch of youth. You have a sphere of influence at school. You do. You may not think you do, but you do. You have people you talk with and interact with. And guess what? They're not all kids either. Every one of your classes has a teacher in it. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're at home. I guarantee you that on this back row of this first section, my son and his wife, Leandra, and their little baby, Kensington, that little child is within my sphere of influence. Now, it's in their sphere first, and I know that they're going to tell the gospel story to that child as soon as she's able to understand. They're going to come to me, Paw, is that true? Because my daddy tells me stories sometime. I'm sure I just have this in my mind, and I'm going to say, yes, Kenzie, it is true. It is true. That's a sphere of influence. Spheres of influence at work, at school, at play. Maybe, you know, we've got folks that are out right now at sporting events. And if I really struggle with that, I'm not going to preach on that. I'm not going to preach on that. The heck, I'm not going to preach on that. There is something important about being in church, folks. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir here. So I'm not really going to go far in there, but if you have just got to be somewhere else, don't waste the opportunity. Tell it. Don't be afraid. If God is in it, He's got it. If God is in it, let Him work. All you got to do is just open your mouth. All you got to do is put feet to action. Maybe it's not just speaking. Maybe it's actually doing something for somebody. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I love, there used to be this sticker that people put on the back of their trucks, usually. I don't think I've ever seen it on the back of a Nissan Altima, but it says, fear not, or no fear, no fear. Y'all seen that? Anybody seen that? We need to have that stamped on our body somewhere, not a tattoo, but maybe if you want to get a tattoo, that's your business, but maybe you get a hat or a shirt. But you need to have it, and it says within your soul, fear not, no fear. If God is with me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is throughout Scripture, folks. Fear not. Fear not. If you walk out of here not remembering anything else, I want you to remember this. Whatever your fear is, God says, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I've got this. I've handled bigger things than this before, and I'm capable of doing it. Fear not. Our job is to just be obedient. But that takes surrender. That takes surrender. Not sure where you are this morning. Not sure if any of you have ever had a fear or not. I have had many fears. Very real fears. But God's telling me today, in the words of my lovely bride's mother, oh, baby, it's only life. The worst thing that I could fear today, God still tells me this, don't be afraid. Fear not. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this message, Lord, that tells us we don't have to live in fear. Our God is a powerful and strong and mighty God. And whatever the Lord tells me to do, I can trust that if He sent it, He's also sending backup to lift me up, prop me up, to make sure that it gets done right. Because if it's left just to me, I'll mess it up in a hurry. God, thank you that you've got this. All that's required of me is to be obedient. Help me to be obedient, Lord. Help me to be willing to shake up my world, to not be afraid. And Father, that's my prayer for your people as well. Make us bold in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for just a few moments. Zachary and the praise team is going to lead us in a song. This is your time of response. Maybe you've had fears. You've lived in fears. And maybe today you want to come and lay them on the altar and say, God, I'm done with fear. It's been holding me back. And I want to live for you. And I want to do what you want me to do. And I want to be successful in the things you want me to be successful in. So I'm going to just turn all that over to you. And I'm going to take heed of the words of the angels throughout Scripture that said this. Fear not. Fear not. Maybe you're here this morning, and listen, if you've never put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ that came to us as a baby, grew up to be a man sinless, gave his life on the cross as a substitutionary death for you because God's word said the wages of sin is death, but God loved you so much that he said, I don't want you to have to die, so I'm going to pay that price for you. And if you've never received that and took hold of that promise for your life, let me just encourage you, come speak to me and let me walk you kind of through the steps of that. Let me walk you through the understanding of that. It's not that I can give you faith, but I can show you how your own faith can be activated. Maybe it's other reason. If you want prayer, my wife Rebecca will be standing here with me. You can come, one or both of us would love to pray for you. If that's what your desire is, the altar is always open. This is your time. Would you respond as the Spirit leads?